Hi, welcome to Happy, Joyous, and Freaking Out. My name's Nicole, and I'm an alcoholic. But this podcast isn't just for alcoholics. It's for anyone who has questions about how to be happy, how to be joyous, and why we freak out. So welcome to the podcast, and thanks. It's the new year, 2015. Have you chosen your word of the year, your intention? I have, but I think I might change it. So I will update you on that later. But I don't believe in resolutions. I believe in intentions. Because when I put strict rules on myself and try to set boundaries on myself, I ultimately fail. So why even start? Hi, welcome to this episode. It's been a while since I have done an episode, and I have found myself drawn to the medium again, become inspired again. And so here I am, ready to talk and share my experience. The shit I want to share. I visited a psychic with my best friend. It was my birthday. And so we made an appointment with a psychic, and we completely envisioned her doing our tarot reading and then looking at us with these wide, fearful eyes and throwing our money back at us and going, "No, I can't do this reading," and shuffling us up out the door. It didn't happen. She was very sweet and kind and had nothing but good things to say. I like to think that they will all come true. So it was an interesting thing. It was a weird thing to do on your birthday, but I did it. And we will see how 2015 will unfold. So let's get right into it. Let's get into the topic. I want to talk about anger.
I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to ride. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window. Open it and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore.
It's okay to feel angry. It's basically my thesis this episode. I was never really acquainted with my anger before getting sober. Anger in the true sense of rage. I never really through tantrums as a kid. Anytime that I did, it was because I wanted to be an actress when I was a little girl. So, you know, they're very over the top and dramatic, but not, they didn't have any basis in reality. What I mostly did as a kid and a young adult is I felt a lot of jealousy, a lot of fear, and I made myself a victim constantly. Now, those are all variations of anger. But I hadn't been acquainted with the rageful anger until I got sober. And it strikes me as interesting because, you know, I think we have this idea that when we get sober, when we make any kind of difficult but positive choice, that we're going to be happy for the rest of our lives. And that's just simply not the case. And instead of this switch getting turned on in me that made everything sunny and rosy and me happy all the time, what I got was a realization that there is a spectrum of human emotion, and I get to feel all of those feelings. And I've spoken about that before, feeling all of the feelings in a very raw and real way. But anger is still one that I just don't have a lot of experience with it. But the experiences I do have are very visceral, and I walk away with some sense of relief after I have let go of my anger toward the person, place, or thing. So this experience that I want to talk about is, it happened, I barely had 90 days sober. And in my first year, I was navigating how to live life without the use of substance. Basically live like a human being. And that was difficult. It was really hard. And I was really quick to emotion. And I was also really into trying new things. So I got invited to participate in a music video shoot for a local artist, and my friend invited me, and I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know the photographer, I didn't know the musician, and I agreed to go on the basis that I would like help with lights or cameras or whatever. And somehow I had ended up in the music video. You can't see it because it's a really shitty music video. It's nowhere on the internet. Don't try and go looking for it because you can't find it. So I agreed to go on this music video shoot, and I drove out there with the photographer. I was meeting my friend and the musician out, and we were going to stay in this hotel room, all in one hotel room, two beds. And I was like, oh, wow, how artistic and bohemian. We all flop in this hotel room for a night while we shoot a music video. And we made a stop at a Safeway, and the only thing we picked up was liquor and beer. And I think I picked up a packet of Cheez-Its because I thought I might get hungry later. And we get to the hotel room, and we start trying on costumes and doing blocking, and the drinking starts at around, I think, 3:30 in the afternoon. And I'm obviously not participating. I've said up front, you know, I don't drink, but I'm cool around drinking, because I was, and I still am. I'm fine with other people drinking. And they start to get, you know, the three participants are starting to get a little raucous. And I'm noticing that when about 10 o'clock rolls around, they have no signs of stopping. And I am a person who goes to bed quite early and gets up early. And, you know, I found this newfound zeal for the early morning because I'm no longer hungover every morning. And so I can get a full 8 hours of sleep and I'm fine. It's a great way to live. Just saying, early mornings are beautiful. Anyways, they show no signs of stopping. I'm getting tired. So I'm like, okay, guys, if you don't mind, like, you don't have to wind down. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Like, you know, if you guys want to go hang out, like, in the pool or whatever, just if it's cool if I get some sleep, because we have to get up really early tomorrow morning. They're like, oh, okay. So their plan is to go into the bathroom, which it's a cheap hotel. The walls are not that thick. And they think if they speak in a loud whisper that I can't hear them. So I'm in bed, and I hear the photographer say, you know, like, I didn't think that, I know that she doesn't drink, but I didn't think she would be such a buzzkill. And I was like, okay, dude, like, sorry if my not drinking is making your drinking not fun, but that's not something I can fix. And I felt a little flutter of anger. And I was like, oh, that's not super cool of him to say. And he comes out, and, you know, I'm reading my book, and he's like, so, you know, are you okay? Are you upset? And I was like, well, you know, I just want to go to sleep, but I did hear what you just said about me being a buzzkill. And he was like, oh, well, I didn't really mean that. And I was like, whatever. Just know that, like, the reason I don't drink is because I'm sober. And I used to drink a lot. I can't do it anymore. It's, you know, somewhat of a choice that I've made, somewhat out of my control. So, you know, sorry, but not sorry. And he was like, oh, yeah, And he just kind of wanders away. So they're drinking for another 2 hours. I don't know what they're doing. Making art. I don't fucking care. And they come back out, and I thought that I'd be sharing a bed with my friend. And suddenly the photographer gets in bed with me. And I'm like, all right, whatever. It's late enough. Like, hopefully he'll just pass out. And so he starts to get a little closer to me in the bed. And I kind of scoot on over. And then, you know, his feet find my feet, and I kind of kick him away. And he gets a little closer, and I'm literally on the edge of the bed. And his hand gets a little bit closer, and I'm just kind of like, oh, Jesus Christ. And then he makes a move, and I'm not going to tell you where he touched me, but he touched me in you know, one of the inappropriate places for a person that you hardly know to touch you. And I threw off the blanket, and I said, try it again, bro. And he kind of rolled over and feigned sleep, and I grabbed my keys and my phone and got the hell out of there. I got to the lobby, and I was shaking, and I felt cold and hot at the same time, and I couldn't believe I had just yelled at a relative stranger. And I remember She and Him was playing on the speakers in the lobby, and the night clerk was on duty, and I said, oh, She and Him, interesting choice. And he said, I don't have a choice, it's the hotel radio. And I said, oh, cool. And I just kind of sat down and wondered what to do with myself. And I thought, I should call Other Alcoholics. And first, it's such a gift, but people actually answered the phone. My sponsor answered the phone. A dear friend of mine answered her phone. I got several text messages back from people checking in on me. I mean, it was insane the amount of response I got at such a late hour. I mean, it was like midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning when I was making these phone calls. And, you know, just sharing my experience and talking with other alcoholics and having them be like, you know, you made the choice to leave the situation. You voted with your feet. Good job. You're going to be fine. Do you want me to come get you? Which was a crazy notion because it was the middle of the night and I was 2 hours outside of Seattle. I started to feel calm again. And I started to, you know, let go of some of the rage shakes I was feeling. Until the guy came out to the lobby. And I guess my friend had overheard me talking on the phone with some people. And he came out and wanted to have a chat with me. So I sat down with him and he said, you know, I don't really know like what you thought happened, or, you know, basically telling me like I had made up the whole thing. So I looked at him and I said, I know two things. One, I'm the only sober person in that room, which is not to say that I was judging them for drinking, because you do you. That's fine. But I was the only one who was not inebriated. So there's that. And two, I don't think your wife would find that, you know, very cool that you tried to do that, nor that you assumed getting in bed with me in the first place was an okay thing. And he backpedaled really quickly. And it was an interesting thing to watch him kind of take this all in. And it was like I physically saw my voice hit him and change his demeanor. And the thing about it was that, like, my voice was shaky, but I was speaking my truth. And it almost felt like it wasn't my words. Like, what I was saying was a completely different person, the person I wanted to be saying these things. And he looked at me and suddenly was all apologies. And offered to pay for a hotel room for me to stay in alone. And begged me to not say anything or tell anyone what had happened. And wanted to still mine my music industry contacts because he wanted to be a music photographer. And I said, absolutely not. No, sorry. But also, no, I am going to talk about it. I am, because it's not okay what you did. And I don't know how much further you thought you could have gone. And I certainly don't like to think of what you thought you were privy to. But no, I'm sorry. I won't use your name, but I'm going to talk about it because it's not okay that these things happen. And, you know, I have close friends who are victims of abuse. I myself am a victim of abuse. And when we stay silent, those things get forgotten or they get twisted in a way that is unreal. And I'm absolutely going to talk about it. I'm choosing to talk about it now in my response to this whole thing happening. And it was a learning experience for me because I did speak my truth and at the same time was supported by this net of compassion that other alcoholics modeled for me. They didn't say, you know, have some compassion for him because you don't know what he's struggling with. They said, no, it's he did a shitty thing. And sometimes shitty people do shitty things. And my responsibility is to choose how I respond to it. So I got angry and I spoke my truth, but I didn't let it occupy my mind and I didn't dwell on it. Now I can look back on it and say, I could have made some better choices going 2 hours outside of town with two people I barely knew and one person I knew quite well without a car, knowing that everybody would be drinking around me at less than 90 days sober, probably not the best idea. But I don't get viscerally angry about it anymore. And I can look at that guy with a little bit of compassion and be like, yeah, he's fucked up. A lot of experiences I have with people who spark that anger flame inside me, I'm able to look at with compassion. Most of my friends are really great about pulling me back to reality and saying, like, you know, not everyone is sick. Some people are just shitty. And that's a lesson to learn, too. It's a thing that I still grapple with. So, we feel this anger and rage, and we feel the entire thing, and then we push through it, and we let go of it. That's what I've learned. And that's what works for me. Holding on to anger and returning to it again and again, that is physically taxing. That is emotionally taxing. It ages you, and I want to stay young forever. And it shifts, it distorts your perspective on the way that the world is supposed to work. Because the more you return to that anger place, the more you're making yourself a victim, and the more you're living in this delusion that everyone should act a certain way in order to fit your idea of how the world works. And that's, come on. I'm not going to say that's crazy because I bandied about that word too much, but it's delusional. So that's what I have to say about anger. And I choose to work a program of action that allows me to reflect on that anger that I have, get it out into the world, and then let it go. And I'm very grateful for that. I have a lot of gratitude for that program of action. So yeah, that's what I have to share this week. And so grateful for you in particular. I've been receiving beautiful, beautiful emails, a couple of which I want to touch on that will be whole episodes. And I am so grateful. Thank you so much. So continue to reach out. My email is Nicole, that's Nichole, at happyjoyousandfreakingout.com. And you can visit the website happyjoyousandfreakingout.com for places to subscribe, for full episodes, for little extras that come with all of the episodes. I'm kind of proud of the photos that I choose and the synopses that I write. Yeah, 2015. Let's let go of some shit. 2014, while personally it was a great year of a lot of positive stuff for me, wasn't that great for a lot of other people. It was kind of a garbage year. So, you know, I'm hoping that we take some lessons from 2014, that we start to work on some of this shit. I know personally I'm trying to let go of a lot of worldviews that I thought were universal that aren't, and working to better myself and speak my truth. So speak your truth this year and have fun with it. All right. Thanks. Much love. Bye.